How can I know God's will? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. As usual, Pete Alwinson, my pastor, has come in to we do this for a number of reasons. I do it because I like Pete, and we've been friends for 100 years. I do it because he's my pastor. He knows dirt on me. I do it because Pete's a member of our board of Key Life, and because I want to make a statement. You know, we're really pro-church at Key Life, and I think sometimes people say we're an arm of the church, and we're really not. You know, God can get rid of Key Life tomorrow, and just say, you know, I'm tired of this. You guys make too many jokes, and they're not funny, and I'm going to do with it. But he's not going to do that with the church. The church is his bride. That's his wife. And I want to be a part of that. I want to make that statement on Key Life, so we do it. I'm glad you come in.
Good.
Thank you so much for doing it. We'd love to get your questions, by the way. You have to write them down, though. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you would like a response. And you do get a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcaster in the magazine. And the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number is open 24 hours a day, but you can't ask. Well, you can ask questions and we'll get answers. You can make a contribution. You can become a part of Key Life tape family. You can order any of the many booklets and tapes that we offer. But you do need to write the question down. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer? We'll turn to some of these questions.
Okay. Father, we do bow right now in your presence, Lord, and acknowledge your sovereignty. Acknowledge that you are God and we worship you. We feel safe in your presence because you reveal yourself to us as a Father. Because we know we have a Savior who has paid for our sins and reunited us with you. And, Lord, what a joy it is to relax and rest in your presence and then to glorify you and enjoy you. And so, Father, we do worship you and pray that, Lord, this Sunday as we gather together with your people, that you would cause us to come together and give you the honor, the exaltation and the praise that you so richly deserve. Lord, to get away from just thinking about ourselves. Be with our leaders, our worship leaders, our priests, pastors, teachers, pastors' wives, and even the families that stand with them, Lord, in a very visible and public way, Lord. But be with our leaders as they prepare their messages. Give them the boldness and the strength to teach your word and to teach it clearly, and to teach it accurately, practically, but Father, in a gracious way. And Lord, we ask that together the body of your people would be brought in a humble way before your throne. We do ask that you would be with us now, and we ask for wisdom and clarity that we could encourage your people through what we say. So we dedicate our time to you now. I ask, Father, also that you would be with Steve and encourage him and strengthen him and continue to use him and this ministry, how you've touched so many lives through him. And we just pray for your blessing as we now pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, probably a question we get probably as much as any other is this question. This is from California this time. How can I know God's will?
You know the question, it is a very common question, and I think the first response is the good news is God can be known.
Yeah.
And God's will can be known because he has made himself known to us. He's revealed. Well, Scripture tells us in Romans 1 that we would know a lot about God by what simply he has made. But his will, in a particular way, has been given to us in the Scriptures. Special revelation versus the general revelation.
So I know that if I'm going to kill somebody, I know what God's will is about that.
That's right. You know,
and there are a great variety of things like that.
Oh boy, somebody said, and I, I'm I haven't done the statistics on this, but I think it's probably true, that 99% of God's will for us is already revealed in Scripture.
Yeah, that's true.
The question is usually brought up in the sense of, you know, what's the next step in my life? How can I know God's will? Who should I marry? What college should I go to? Should I take this new job? What is God's will? Mm-hmm. And would you agree that?
Oh, I agree totally.
So those are,
and so, but even there, God's not in the business of hiding His will from us.
No, absolutely not. So how does He go about doing it? What do you think?
Well, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica that this is the will of God, your sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more a matter of saying, if I knew God was saying for me to jump off a 20-story building, would I do that? I mean, if I knew for sure that He wrote it in the sky, am I close enough to God to say, whatever His will is, I will do it.
Yeah.
Or I'll try to do it. And I think as long as you can do that heart check and say, whatever His will is, I would do it, then you refer to what Jesus said, that's sanctification, being set apart unto Him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, if any man's will is to do His will, he will know.
He will know it.
And then God leads through circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think God sometimes leads through your own desires?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
I thought if you didn't like it, it had to be God's will.
God is the kind of father who makes life miserable. Eat your spinach.
Yeah, cry, will you? I'll give you something to cry about. But God does give us desires. I mean, I love doing Key Life, and it's God's will that I do Key Life. And so, you know, those things come together often in those kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the godly counsel of other people. You know, when you're making a huge decision that could impact your family or a huge network, then you need to get godly counsel. And you know, Proverbs says, if you're going to wage war, you know, get an abundance of counselors.
So true.
An abundance of counselors is victory. So the heart check was the first thing you said. The second thing is, what are your desires?
You said the Bible.
And the Bible, of course.
Yeah.
Probably we ought to say more on that, in just the sense of really immersing yourself in the Scriptures when you have a big decision to make, to know how the Father thinks, how God thinks, and to begin to think His thoughts after Him. If the more you read, the more you will think His thoughts after Him.
You know, something that one of the good things about having done this for so many years, teaching the Bible, which is what I do,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a pastor for years and years, I've gone through the entire Bible and I've taught it. I was telling some of the students the other day that I can't think a thought without thinking of a text.
Mm.
And so I get invited to speak to some place and they don't want me to do religious stuff. But I can't do it. I have to get a text, write something from that text, and then forget about making reference to the text, or I can't do it.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of thing, that happened to me not because I'm spiritual, but because of my job description. But I think that is helpful to know exactly how God does feel about things like
that. Right, that's right.
I believe, and you may disagree, but I believe that occasionally, but very, very rarely, God does impress and God does lead in a particular, specific situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do think so. I mean, haven't you seen that in meetings? I've seen it in elder meetings and other times where you have this. Just a firm sense of conviction, then you that this is what God wants you to do.
Yeah,
sure.
That's good stuff. But listen, guys, don't worry so much about God's will. Worry about God, and you don't have to worry about that. He likes you a lot, but just spend time with Him, and He'll make your path straight.
That is so true. And wasn't it Augustine who said, "Love God and do as you please"?
Yeah.
And I love that, but it does presuppose that you know, as you said at the beginning, that your heart check is there. That your mind is scriptural and love God and you will do as what pleases Him.
That's true. This is from New Jersey. How does Methodism compare or contrast to Reformed beliefs?
I've never been a Methodist. You have?
I have. I love the Methodist Church. And in fact, went back to my home church and my beloved home church, Trinity Methodist in West Asheville in North Carolina just recently. And I just had those people are just wonderful. I loved it. And I love Methodism. Still read Wesley's diary on occasion. And so the first thing you got to say is that Methodisms are the Arminian way, named after Jacob Arminius, not the Armenians, that is a particular way of looking at Scripture. It's legitimate. It's well within the bounds of orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion is always a family discussion.
Right.
And so within that context, I think probably Reformed people would see much more and emphasize much more the total absolute sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think Methodism would emphasize far more the responsibility of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Reformed people are far more theological in the sense that so much theology comes out of the Reformed camp.
Mm-hmm.
Methodism, its very name, a methodology,
mm-hmm.
suggests that while Reformed people are discussing the exegetical implications of air conditioning in the church, the Methodists would have built five churches and air conditioned all of them.
That's right. They're organizing Christians into small groups and building them up in the basics of the faith.
That's true. So there are some particulars. One of the best places that I think in these, unless you're really into this, they're big books. But Dallimore's book on Whitfield generates the differences between George Whitfield, who was Reformed, and John Wesley, who was Arminian.
Both incredibly used evangelists.
Oh, yeah.
John Wesley was a great leader and organizer, great preacher,
yeah,
but a great leader and organizer, even more so than Whitfield.
Much more so. I agree. And that is not to say there aren't theologians that are Methodists.
Right.
Of course there are, and some great theologians, or that there aren't doers who are Reformed. They're great doers among the Reformed group. But generally, I would say that Reformed folks turn out a lot more theology books.
A caveat, I agree. A caveat to this whole thing is that you've got many on the Methodist side who really are kind of pushing away from Scripture, and then you've got many on the historic Reformed Presbyterian who also are pushing away from Scripture. So you kind of got to, what are the differences? Well, it depends on which church you go to.
That's true, and that's very true.
And not to brand any particular Methodist church as liberal, or any Presbyterian church for that matter as liberal.
Now, do not send letters saying, you guys are selling out, because we're not selling out.
No.
We're trying to have the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have convictions. We have strong Reformed convictions.
Yeah, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a historic Presbyterian. A Bible.
A Westminster Confession Presbyterian.
I'm a
Calvinist Presbyterian.
But I have spoken at men's retreats, at Methodist churches, all over the place, and we're good guys.
Hey, we got to go next week.
All right.
Guys, we're out of here. We love to get your questions. Whenever you write or call, do give us the call letters of this great station. And, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.